you're following in your Bible today and would like the text, it'll be on the screen as well, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13. You know, they didn't call it the Wild West for nothing. The Wild West was wild because there were many wild things, like wild animals, wild natives, and wild outlaws. Despite the dangers, many went west looking for a new life, and some to pursue fame and fortune. But settlers soon found in the towns in which they settled that there was something else that made the West wild. It was the behavior of the people who lived in those towns. I mean, they had their fair share of vice in those cowboy towns and mining towns. They had drinking, gambling, and gunslinging, and womanizing. It's this lawlessness that is the primary reason we call it the Wild West. But I wonder if that day so long ago is any different really from our day. You know, while we like to think of ourselves as more civilized, as more refined, as more with it than they are, the truth is the Bible teaches that all of us are pretty much the same people are down through history. And that isn't any different than it is today. I mean, our communities and our homes are infected with the same kinds of vices that I just mentioned. And worse yet, you know yourself well enough and you give yourself a bit of consideration or meditation, you know those same kinds of sins can be found in your own heart. So it isn't always as easy to straighten up and fly right as we'd like it to be. And that's where the Bible comes in, because the Bible is a real aid to dealing with vice and temptation in our lives. That brings us to our scripture to text today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So today, for just a few minutes now, as we look at God's word together, I want you to consider with me two things about the temptation we all deal with, whether it was back in the 1800s in the Old West, which was roughly 1865 through 1895, depends on who you read, but that's roughly the Old West when we think about it. It spilled over in the early 1900s as well. But whether you think about those people or us today, we all face temptation. There's two things I want you to get from this message about temptation from this verse. And the first one, you can see it right there on the screen. There are no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I've already hinted at that in my introduction. The temptations that we all deal with, they're common to man. It's an infection in every single person's heart. We'd like to start out and say that we basically start out innocent, but somewhere really early, if you're a parent, you understand we go wrong. And I don't know if it's the milk we're eating or the ice cream or the cake, but something gets in there and we go wrong. And so the Bible teaches that the primary source of temptation is not the devil, though we'd like to blame him. And it's not God, though we'd like to blame him too. It's us. In fact, James is really clear about this in James chapter 1 and verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. His own lust. And there the word just means desire. Your own desires lead you in a path that goes far from the Lord. So what temptations are we talking about? So let's talk about some common temptations, all right? The first one that needs to be at the top of the list, especially when we're talking about the Old West, is greed. People were always, whether they were miners or prospectors or bandits, whatever their occupation, they were always looking for ways, at least that's the way the West is portrayed, as trying to con their brother, their neighbor, their community, out of valuable resources. Let me give you just an example of this. Two cousins, 1872. They're known for the great diamond heist, or hoax rather, of 1872. Have you heard about this? I only learned about it this week in my reading about the Old West. But in 1872, these two cousins, Philip, Arnold and John Slack, his cousin, so we'll call them Arnold and Slack, they got this idea that they could take the trimmings off of old diamonds, and they bought a whole bunch of trimmings off of old diamonds. It cost them about $36,000. That's no small change. But these prospectors decided they were going to go in for the big kill. And so they went in and they scattered a particular piece of ground in northwest Colorado with all of these little shavings of diamonds on the ground. And then they led people out there to find them. And, oh, wow, this has got to be a diamond mine sitting. And so then they got investors involved and bankers got excited. And you know greed, how that works. You know, boy, diamonds sitting on the ground. Bunch of people bought in. And they ended up walking away with $500,000 by selling this claim off to unsuspecting investors from back east. Now, they eventually did catch one of them, and he did spend time. The other guy got a, and I forget which one, but didn't even spend any time for it. But greed, you see it in the West, but you see it today. Did that temptation really go away? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil," or many forms of evil come right out of the love of money. So greed is a real problem. But has it really gone away? I was just listening, and you do too, don't you? Listen to the news. And just recently here in Tucson during the Gem Show, just about 2-3 weeks ago, a guy went up and he ripped off a dinosaur claw, a fossilized dinosaur claw, from one of the vendors. Did you hear about this? And then a day or so later, he tried to sell it to another vendor who was wary of what had happened. The claw was estimated around $25,000. Well, after trying to sell it to another vendor, the police were called, and they quickly picked up the suspect, who's now incarcerated, 39 years old, and is facing trafficking charges for dealing in stolen property. Greed. It's a real problem. You know what? And it's not just in somebody that steals a dinosaur claw or plants diamonds on a field to get investors to buy in. There's greed in all of our hearts. We're always looking for ways to cut a quick buck, especially if it involves no work. Boy, and that's happening now in the new. This is an aside, this wasn't even in my notes, but have you noticed all the campaigning and the advertising for these new apps that allow you to bet on various sporting games? You know, Christians ought not get involved in that. The Bible teaches that it's by diligent labor, Proverbs chapter 10, I believe, that it's by diligent labor that makes a man rich, not cheap schemes to get rich quick. In fact, the only reason those organizations survive is because they end up taking more money than they ever hand out. And that's a shame. But greed, it's a real temptation, and it's a temptation right here in good old Tucson in 2022. We can go to another temptation that was common in the Old West. We can talk about women and brothels briefly. That by no means excuses the men who employ them, but this is a real temptation. This old vice didn't die with the Old West. In fact, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he said these words. He said, "But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And so Jesus went even further than we would typically go and said, "What's going on inside your heart? Because there's a problem with lust." You know, and one need no more than check the daily or weekly news to find some other public figure, government official, having to step down from his post because he was out gallivanting somewhere where he shouldn't have been, or having somebody sit on his lap that wasn't supposed to be on his lap because that person didn't also share a wedding band that belonged to him. This kind of stuff continues today, so the temptations of the Old West haven't gone away from the West. They still exist in the hearts of people right here. They are common to man. That's my point, right? Two things I wanted you to get from the message. The first one was, it's common to man. greed, girls, we could move on. Let's do so. Well, let me make one more point about this. You know, Jesus said it's already in his heart. And even if you can keep scandal from getting to the public eye, you can't keep the scandal of your heart from God's eye. God knows what's going on. And these are real temptations even today. There's another one. You know what this one is? This is glory. You know, they say no guts, no glory. But I mean by this word glory, I mean pride. Boy, pride hasn't disappeared, has it? Pride was true in the Old West. You guys think about Jesse James, right? So think of some of these notable outlaws that are just household names even today, 100 years later, more than 100 years later with Jesse James. He's known for holding up in the great train robbery, holding up the train, and then passing out a press release to all the passengers on the train so that they would put it in. And it raised his popularity with the public, and people liked it, like Jesse James. In fact, history records that he was the outlaw that goes the longest without the law catching up with him. And it lasted a whole 15 years, young people. He outran the law a whole 15 years, and he got the longest spread. I don't know, I kind of like life more than 15 years, and then a bullet in my back, which is what Jesse James ended up with. But you see, he had a little flair for the popularity and for press, and he wanted to get out there. But it wasn't just him. There were other even lawmen in the West that their goal was to take down some of these notable outlaws, so they raised their reputation. They wanted to be the fastest draw in the West, and they wanted to be this and that. Why? Because of pride. Pride hasn't gone anyplace. We still struggle with that today. That desire in your heart to push yourself up front, for people to notice you so that you can be somebody. Boy, that's in all of our hearts. And it often drives a lot of our gusto for gold and our gusto for wealth and our gusto for any of these things that we have talked about in the message so far. It's often pride is the driver of it. We're common to man. Same things going on today. But the root of all of this is this common problem of pride that I've mentioned. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's interesting that word destruction appears a second time in the message. We talked about it under greed. It drives a person to destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And now pride does the same thing, moves us toward destruction. And my point is simply, these are all common to man. So I read about the Old West, and some people like to do that. Some of you might even be fanatics about it. I mean, and have books on your shelf and read about the Old West, and they had the same issues, the same struggles, the same temptations, the same vice that we face today. So we might not be as refined or civilized as we think we are, but is there any hope? I mean, that's pretty pathetic part of the message, to talk about ugliness and vice and sin. I don't want to leave you there, all right? Is there any hope, or are we just kind of all perpetually stuck in this rut of temptation and vice? Well, here's the good news. There is a way out. Point number two, the second thing about temptation I want you to get, it comes with a way out. It's common to man, but there's a way out. God says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And God will also make a way to escape. So you can escape temptation. You don't have to be a victim and ruined by temptation that ruins so many other people. Let me tell you a story. Actually, Jesus taught the story first, so I have to give him credit. You see, there was a young man, and he was getting tired of the rules at home, and he wanted to get out on his own and experience life. So he looked at his dad and said, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Give me my inheritance now." And as the story goes, Jesus said the man divvied up his portion and gave it out to his son, and the son went off. And boy, did he live it up. He was living high on the hog. Really, he was. Loose living, good times, lots of friends. But when his money dried up, so did his friends. And he went from being high on the hog to living with the hogs. And this is really the truth. This is Jesus' story. It's in Luke 15. So he's living with the hogs. He's eating the same slop that they are. You know, and he has an epiphany in the pig pen. He does. And he's sitting there thinking, how many of my father's hired servants have plenty enough to spare, and I sit here and perish with hunger? And so he makes a decision to change course and to get out of the pig pen and to get on with his life, a better life than what he was in, and escape where he has been. And so this is what he does. Turn too many pages. So was the pig pen the end for the man? No. There was hope, and there is hope in the Scripture for anybody who's caught up in vice. And that's what we find in Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So this prodigal, as we call him, makes a big decision. I can't stay the way I am. I'm starving to death anyway, trying to eat the same thing that hogs eat. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back to my dad. But I want you to notice two important steps in these verses that led to his deliverance from his lifestyle, from his temptation, from the vice that he had got himself wrapped up in. Because you have to make these same two steps if you're to escape the temptations that embroiled the West and embroil your heart today. Here they are. Number one, you got to get honest about your sin. Notice what verse 18 says. Father, he says, I'm going to say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You know, he doesn't sugarcoat what he's done. What he did was sinful, to treat his dad the way he was. What he did do, to spend all of his dad's wealth on himself frivolously, that was sin. To do so in the way and the manner he did, it was sinful. And you know, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He comes clean with God and says, I have sinned. And that's the first step. You know, when it comes to temptation, we often paint ourselves better than we are. Well, you know, I'm not as bad as Jesse James or Billy the Kid. If you look for somebody worse than you, you can always find that person. Jeffrey Epstein. Well, you know, I do more good than bad. I'm a pretty good person. But you know, you're not really being honest with me or yourself, because you know things about you that I don't know. And you know that there are these same kinds of things, greed and lust and pride in your heart. That's a big problem. How does a person get free of that? I'm trying to tell you, there's a way out. And that is to get honest about your sin. This is what the guy did. You know, you may not kill in cold blood. You may not do something else that somebody else does. But you still have sin in your heart. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. There's not a just man on earth. We can add the women there too. It's mankind. There's not anybody just in mankind. But that does good and sins not. Everybody is in that category. That's the first step. You got to get honest. You know what? I'm surprised how many people are so slow to get honest with God about their true nature. You know, just, I'll deny it to my wife. I'll deny it to my kids. I'll deny it to everybody else. I'll just, well, even deny it to God. But we've got to get honest. If we're going to get out of temptation, we've got to get honest with God about our sin. Number two, what else did this prodigal do? He got honest. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And then the second thing he said, I will arise and go back to my father. I will arise and go to my father. That's also in verse number 18. You know, despite all the vice that this man had gotten wrapped up in and all the shame he had brought upon himself and his family name, he knew that if he could get back to his dad, it would be okay. Dad would know how to fix things. If nothing else, I could be a household servant and I could be better off than I am today. You know, and he thought to himself, that was better than slopping pigs. And so he got up and he went home. You know, the same option is open to every person in this room, right? There is a way out. Temptation comes with a way out. And the way out for you is to get honest about your sin and to get back to your father. But I'm not talking about your earthly father. I know some people in this room have issues with their dad, and I pray that you'll be able to reconcile those before one or both of you are gone. That should be a goal of every Christian. But I'm really talking about your Heavenly Father, who's willing to take back any wayward son or daughter who's willing to admit that I've done wrong, that I've been like the prodigal, I've wandered far from home. But for this to happen, you have to have something I haven't mentioned yet, and that's a little bit of humility. Because that's what the son would have to do when he would go home. He would tell his dad, make me like one of your hired servants. That takes humility. Just give me a bunk room in the basement. I'll be okay. You know, I have to swallow our pride hard to do that. But that really is essential if you're going to get back to your father. Now, I already mentioned this, but let me zero in on this. Why are some people so resistant to get back to the Father? You know, it seems like we're willing to try everything. You know, the reason I feel guilty is I just need to go out and buy a new car and I'll feel better about myself. For about 6 months until you can't afford the payments, and then you'll feel disgusted about it. But no, people try to buy themselves out of feeling bad. They try to do things. I'll just do more good. I'll do community service. You know, I'll treat my wife better. I'll straighten up. I'll straighten up and fly right. And they just keep pushing God to the side. But notice what this guy did. He admitted, I've sinned, and he came back to the Father. That's all you have to do. God isn't asking for you to do anything great, to go on a pilgrimage, to get baptized, to do some other great feat. He just wants you to say, I've sinned. I've been tempted by these things. I've fallen for these temptations and vice. But I'm ready to get back to the Father. You know, and if you'll take the first step, God takes the rest. In fact, that happened in the story in Luke chapter 15. The boy rounds the bend, or he crests the hill, whatever it was, and his father lays eyes on him, and the father leaves the porch and runs after his son and falls on his neck. You take the first step, God does the rest. That's really neat. That's all that faith requires, and say, yes, God, I believe that you're willing to have me back, and I'm going to take the first step. Please, you got to help me the rest of the way, because I'm not used to this, or I'm not familiar with this territory. And God will meet you the rest of the way. And He will give you a full pardon. That reminds me of a notorious outlaw, maybe a name that you're not quite as familiar with. His name is John Wesley Hardin. He had a preacher's name, was his name. John Wesley is a famous Methodist preacher, founder of Methodism, named after that preacher. But John Wesley Hardin was no preacher. He is a notorious gunslinger who supposedly gunned down more men than any other outlaw in the Old West. He once bragged that he'd put 44 men in their graves. History has been able to corroborate at least half of them. Perhaps there were more. After becoming a notorious outlaw, he once complained. He said, there have been reports and lies about me that I've killed 5 or 6 men for snoring. That just ain't true. I only killed one man for snoring. And he did, Abilene, Kansas. And the guy in this hotel room next to him was snoring so loud, he picked up his revolver, shot a couple times through the wall, and that put an end to the silence. It really did happen. Eventually, for these murders, the law caught up with him, and he spent 15 years in a Texas state penitentiary before being pardoned. I don't understand all the politics in that, but he was pardoned and made an attempt, unsuccessfully, to go straight. You know, God's offering you a pardon today. I've already explained temptation is common to man. That means every person in this room has these things. Now, you might have a bigger problem in one area than the other, but we all struggle with greed and lust and pride, every one of us. But there's a way out. God's offering a pardon. And He can help you go straight successfully. I'm at least one example or proof that that's possible. God's done it for me. God's done it for many people in this room. Has God done it for you? If you want it to happen, you could make it so today just by getting honest with God about your sin and temptation and taking the first step back to your Father. Now, what's keeping you from doing that? Some of you have heard me plead with you and encourage you. You know, just be honest. Don't you fight greed and lust and pride? Yes, you do. God's offering you a way out. What do you have to do? Get honest about your sin, admit it, and take a step back to the Father. And He can do that. He's got plenty of mercy because He already paid all of your sin on a cross, put it all on the Son who died for you and rose again the third day. Hey, this is gospel truth. If you're here today and you've never done that, boy, I want to invite you. Why wait? Get the pardon. Get free. Don't let the Western temptations take you down. You can be free today. I hope you'll take the first step today back to God. Shall we pause for prayer? Father,